one of the funnest things about a church like this is that there are so many people here with ministry calls in their life, and you don't even know it yet. And I think that's super cool, because it's going to come at you when you're not expecting it, because that's the nature of, you know, our Heavenly Father. He will call you out when the time comes. In the meantime, we have Brother Jay with us this morning, and we love Brother Jay. Before we get started, let's just lift up Jay right now. So if you would extend your hand in this direction. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to give you praise and thanks for our brother Jay. Lord, you are a God who speaks to your children. And this week, coming into this service, you have been speaking to Jay. You have been giving him a word. And we declare in the name of Jesus that word will go forth. Lord, we ask that you would enrich Jay's utterance, that it would not just be a word, but it would be a word that shifts spirits, it shifts mentalities, it shifts beliefs. We believe that people leaving this place will not leave the same way that they came in here. So in the name of Jesus, every demonic bird that would seek to snatch the word that is going to be spoken out today, we bind you in the name of Jesus. We cast you outside the walls of this place. We declare an opening of every eye in this place, every ear in this place, a softening of every heart, so that people might hear, see, and receive the word that we are going to hear today. We pray a blessing over Jay, a blessing over his family, the willingness to be used by you, Heavenly Father. We give you praise and thanks for what you're going to do now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. I have no problem speaking in public. I do it for my job all the time. I am nervous today because I realized I'm doing something during the message that I don't even do at home. I don't do dress up, and I'm dressing up today. Like, it's, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone here a little bit. Grab your Bibles with me, please. I want to start. We'll read Romans 12, verse 2. I'll give you guys a second to get there. Pretty sure we all know this one. But Romans 12, 2, Paul's writing, and he goes, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." As I was preparing, I think I had 3 weeks, 2 weeks notice when I was talking to Colin, and he goes, without hesitation, I said, "Yes, of course, I'll preach. I got no problem with that. I've got nothing prepped." But that's never stopped me before. Generally, what I've done in the past, it's usually Saturday night I'm writing. I had most of this written last week, so I'm really happy with that. But I wound up reading 1 Kings 13. And I'm sure everyone would be like me, read it at some point. But you can't actually tell me what 1 Kings chapter 13 is actually about. So I figured I'll do a Colds note. I won't read the whole thing. It gets kind of, it's a little bit of a story going on. What's going on in 1 Kings 13, it's talking about King Jeroboam in the city of Bethel. And a prophet from Judah was given a word to go give to the king. So this prophet, no names are given, just a prophet from Judah. He meets Jeroboam at an altar in the temple. And this is the neat things we're reading. This isn't just any altar. This is an altar that the king had built for the Israelites to sacrifice on, but not to God, to two golden calves that he had crafted and said, "This is who we sacrifice to now." So the prophet shows up and gives the word that, you know what, there's going to be a new son born in the house of David. It's going to burn the high priests that are making these sacrifices, and that there's going to be human bones burned on this false altar. So, and as always, we know when a word's given, a sign is given to go with it. And the sign that was given was that the altar was going to break and there would be ashes upon it that would be poured out. Now, if you're given a word that says your fancy altar is going to be broken and something's going to happen, you're going to, it's not going to be a good one, you're not going to be happy. So King Jeroboam didn't like it. So he, it's been a while. There we go. So he put on, he commanded that the prophet be seized by the temple guards. And the moment he did that, the Bible records his hand began to shrink and shrivel to the point that he couldn't pull his arm back in. Obviously, freaked him out. So he cried out saying, pray to your God that I might be healed. Prophet did it. So in the Bible then records that his hand was healed, his arm, and things went back to normal. And at that point, I want to mention, I jumped ahead here. The altar broke when his hand seized up like that, and ashes poured out. So the word that was given with the sign has already happened. So we jump back, Jeroboam's healed. And he turns to the prophet and goes, I want you to come dine with me. I'll give you a reward. And the prophet replies saying, even if you give me half your house, I will not go with you. I will not drink or eat in this place, for the Lord's commanded that. And then the prophet left, and he went a different way as the Lord had instructed. This is the part, that's the backstory. I want to focus in on this part. There was another old prophet that was living in Bethel too. When he heard what happened in the temple, he made his way, caught up to the first prophet. And if we turn to verse 15, he invites the prophet into his home and it reads, then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, he being the first prophet, I may not return with you or go in with you, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by the way you came. And he said to him, I am also a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. So we've got two prophets. First prophet was given a word to go to the king, which he did. The second prophet claims to have had a word for the first prophet. I think it's safe to assume the first prophet's a younger prophet, the way 1 Kings talks about the older prophet went to him. And so the younger prophet listened to the older prophet, disregarded the word that had been given to him, the command given to him, and went home with this other prophet and dined. Let's see if I don't fall over. Then the word of the Lord came down on the first prophet while they were eating, and the Lord laid out his judgment on the prophet for not keeping his command. He declared that the prophet would die and not be buried with his forefathers. Sure enough, as the prophet traveled home, he was killed by a lion. His body was found, taken back into Bethel where he was buried. So that's 1 Kings 13, two prophets. One prophet was given a word from the Lord. He did it, had a sign. Second prophet came, also claiming to have a word of the Lord. And the first prophet listened, and it ended up costing his life. I love it. When I was preparing for a message, God always shows exactly the passage that I'm supposed to speak about. And he gives the image that I have and shows me how it relates. See, when we need a word from God, we go to prayer and we cry out and we're asking God for wisdom to guide us. And we'll sit there praying, listening some more. And when the word comes, we hold on to that word and we praise God. But let's be honest, it doesn't always come that easily. We'll cry out constantly asking for a word. and we wait and we cry. And sometimes it feels like the word's not coming, that we're not hearing, we're not discerning. And it's in this time we have to be vigilant in our discernment. Because when we're seeking a word and it's not coming, we find ourselves at risk that we can receive a word from another believer, a worship song, a devotional, and it speaks to our circumstance, and we hold on to it, go, thank you, Jesus. We've got my word. We've got the word you've gone for us, spoken to us for our circumstance. And that's great. What does that have to do with my safety gear? This was the picture I had in my head 3 weeks ago when I was praying and asked God, what am I speaking about? It'd be nice to use my professional side with my experience, but what does that mean? See, as a safety manager, that's what I do for work. I'm everybody's favorite person on the job site because I get to tell you what you can and can't do. I tell them what to do, and I got owners yelling at me because I just shut down their project because they weren't listening. I'm everybody's favorite guy, and it's a lonely job. But what does this have anything to do with the Bible? I mean, there's no high-vis stripes in the Bible. There's no hard hats, no steel-toed boots. And I was stuck. I couldn't get anything. One night, I was actually standing in the shower. I'm going, God, this isn't working. You gave me a picture, and I've got nothing. What am I supposed to do with this? And then it was last Sunday. I think, Zach, you had a word. I think it was in the middle of worship. Zach's words were, he said, if we are listening, the Lord is always speaking. The Lord, we need to listen. The Lord's always speaking. It's just, are we listening? Well, that night, I said, God, well, this sucks. I'm writing a message about discernment, and I'm not discerning anything here. Like, that doesn't quite add up here. So, what are we doing? I'm not picking it up, God. You're trying to tell me something. I'm not getting it. As we worshiped last week, it got even funnier, the picture I had. God had been speaking, and I realized I hadn't been listening properly. I've got it now. So, not everybody in their line of work has the same safety gear. An office and admin staff will have to watch out for different hazards and risks as, say, a welder or a farmer. I've worked a lot of different jobs where safety is an afterthought. I've worked on golf courses where there was no safety gear given. We were just told, go ahead, go cut grass. We had sunglasses and we put our music on. That was it. Figured, why not? Loud music's cutting out the loud mower. It's got to be safe, right? Then I took a job, manual labor, in a pipe yard. Outside all day, all weather, around heavy equipment, big trucks, pipe moving around. Safety was everywhere. Safety was not a choice. Steel-toed boots, vests or coveralls, hard hat, gloves, glasses. This is mandatory. There's no questions asked. See, this is designed to keep us safe, but it doesn't protect us. Might save me a concussion when I have my glasses on. I'm not putting them on because I won't be able to see my words, but when we have the gear on, it doesn't protect us, but it's a warning sign. It might give me a chance of survival if I find myself in the wrong place at the wrong time, but it has to be properly fitted and suited for me. But there's a twist. Jerick, if I can borrow you. See, not everything that's designed to make me safe can make someone else safe. You can start with that. I mean, if Jerica was working and needed to go out into the same job, and all they had was my safety gear, you don't have to put my boots on. Those are gross. Ooh, I'm losing this. See, if Jerica were needing the safety gear and all she had were mine, I can stand here and go, There, you got your safety gear. She's protected. I've done my job. I've given her all the gear, same gear I had, she has. And if I sit here and go climb the scaffolding, Jerrica, and don't fall off. If it's on her, she's got her job. You guys can see her, right? She's got the vest, she's got the hard hat. But it's not designed for her. I was 100% protected. Jerrica's 15% protected. But there's a risk of her, if she's working, tripping, falling, because the safety gear I gave her was not intended for them. It would be better if she was not wearing any safety gear at all. This is the picture God gave me. Somebody wearing my safety gear. And it's the exact same with the word spoken from God. In the day we live in, we're receiving godly messages at every turn. There's preachers and pastors out there. Social media is huge. You're getting little clips from sermons all the time. Their reach is expanding, and it's wonderful. Artists are writing worship music constantly. There's always new worship music coming out, and it is so powerful. There's always new devotionals coming out. See, we can take any word of God spoken in any Christian circle or church. We can believe it from any word from a worship song. Yeah, and bear with me here. We must have that discerning spirit that Paul talked about in Romans, where that when we test the word spoken, believing it to be spoken into our circumstances, we can know what God's will is for us. If we just grab onto every good word spoken, believing it to be for us, but we don't test it, we put ourselves in ill-fitting safety gear. The gear, or God's word, given to guide and protect us, is going to cause us more harm than good. And it can lead us into certain situations that, and leave us wondering, why did it happen? I had a word. I was supposed to be protected. Thanks, you can take that off now. When we look at what happened in 1 Kings 13, I love the record because it was a clear example. It's drastic, but it shows that if we receive a word from God and we know it to be true, whether you like that word or not, you must hold true to it. We must follow it, and we must not stray. Even if you feel like another word comes and it's you've been told something different and it's much nicer, it makes you feel better, how much more danger are you putting yourself in? Because you've chosen then to put your faith in man and not in God. The prophet Balaam, though a wicked prophet, was not a false prophet. He's recorded as saying that he only speaks the words that God gave him. In Numbers 23, Balaam declares that God is not man, that he should lie, or a son of a man, that he should change his mind. Again, God has spoken, declaring that he does not lie, and he does not change his mind. So when we hear a word from God, we discern it, we test it, and we know it's true. We must hold on to it, whether we like it or not. We know that, A, God doesn't lie, and God isn't going to change his mind. He's not a man that's going to wake up on a Tuesday and decide that Monday's answer was wrong and change his mind. And I do want to be clear here. I'm not saying that other believers can't speak to us, that worship can't speak to us. God does use others. And God will use them to speak his words to us when his words are falling on deaf ears. And we can trust that God is using them to speak to our circumstances. But church, we must learn, as true children of God, to be discerning. We know the verse. Jesus spoke that, "My sheep know my voice. I know them and they follow me." And in the same way, we must know the Father's voice. We must know how to discern His Spirit. And we must trust that while God is always speaking, we must first learn to listen. And really, that's the point, church. See, when we're in a dry spot, struggling to hear, like, God gave me a message and on discerning. I wasn't discerning. But when we receive a word from another, one that we trust, and they say that word has been given to them for us in our situation, we must have a discerning spirit. Dana, can I get you to play? You might find that as you discern a word, that the Holy Spirit inside of you is nudging you. Whether it's whispering or screaming, you will know that it, whether it is the word that God wants for you or it is not His word for you. We must hold true. For when the Lord speaks, and if we are listening, we can know His voice. We can know His truth. We can know that no matter what the outside world tells us, we can hold fast to His word. When the Lord speaks, He pours into our circumstances. It becomes like an anchor that we can hold on to. When the storm comes and the ship drops an anchor, it is battered by the waves, pushed around by the storm. But when that storm dissipates and it's gone, that boat is in the exact same spot. No different than it is with us. When that word comes, we hold on to it fast. It anchors us. It anchors our feet in the word of God. We may be pushed around by the waves and the wind, but when the storm passes, we are still right where we are supposed to be. We do not stray. We have stayed put. We have held on to the Lord's truth. For we, like sheep, have heard His voice. We know His voice. And we follow Him. Would you close your eyes with me, please? Father, how sweet it is to hear Your voice, to be called by You, to be Your children. Lord, I just declare right now that we would have Your discerning spirit within us. Holy Spirit, would You grab hold of us? Would You scream at us when we are not listening? Would You nudge us in the right direction when we are scared to move? Father, I thank You that the message You gave me this morning was not from me, but was exactly what You wanted to lay out today. Holy Spirit, would You capture these words? Would You imprint them on our hearts? Would we take them as we go into our week to week, our day to day, Lord? That we would hold fast to Your word. We would discern Your word and let it anchor us, Father, throughout every storm and trial, Father, that we would know Your love, we would know Your peace, and above all, Father, we are know that the steps of the righteous are guided by Your Spirit, Father, and that You lead us into every situation. And like that safety gear, Lord, that is properly fitted for us, Lord, that Your word spoken to us, discerned to be true, will be a guide and protection in everything we do. I thank You for Your words, Father. Would You go with us as we leave? Amen.
I just have a sense. And I feel like it's something we need to respond to. That story of the prophets is a really, it's a really telling story. It's very revealing of kind of the human condition. The reality is, yeah, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He saved us. He took us out of darkness. He brought us into the light. But choosing to make him Lord of your life in different aspects, Lord over your finances, Lord over your marriage, Lord over your business, Lord over, that is something we have to choose to be willing to do every single day. And the sense that I get, the thing that we need to respond to, is there are, not in every aspect, I don't believe, but there are some of us who are still willing to take the word of a person of influence in our life as gospel over the word that God is speaking over a certain aspect. We are a blessed people because we are surrounded by people who hear and are led by Holy Spirit. That is a beautiful thing. The deception is that sometimes we take the word of a pastor or a loved one or whatever, and we take that word and we put it above that still small voice that is speaking into our life in a certain aspect. So, before Jay closes this out, I just want to invite everyone to just bow your heads, just enter into a moment of prayer here, and just search your heart. The Lord sees it. He knows. We have a merciful, we have a gracious, we have a loving Father. And if you know that there is an area of your life that you might be putting the word of someone else over the word that God has for you, in that strategy, in that leading, in that obedience, just give him opportunity to speak to you in that. And if you need to, repent. Man, the feet of our Father is a beautiful place to say, I'm sorry, I want to do it different. Lord, we do say thank you for being a Father that loves talking to your children. You know where every single one of us is at, and that is the place where you come to. You have the word in every season. You have the strategy in every scenario. And Lord, for those of us who have put the words of others above you, Lord, we say sorry. And we know that today is a great time to turn back to you in whatever season we're in and say, Lord, what do you have for me? What do you want to say? You are a God who loves your children. Your mercies are new for us every single day. And to that, Lord, we say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness in our life.
Amen. Would you stand for the benediction, please? Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. Amen. Thank you, church. We will see all of you throughout the week. I hope to see many of you Friday night. I know Pastor Colin always has lots of fun games to play, so come celebrate our kids.